You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, O God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. It is Wednesday already and not quite as chilly today for those of you who just really miss the snow and the ice and you were hoping for a cooler morning. Sorry, it's Florida. And we're glad we're here and glad you're here with us today as well. Well, we're going to jump right into some things at the top of the hour. We have some guests in the studio already, and they look like they came all pumped up and primed to bring you some juicy, extremely important kingdom information. I do believe that's in the schedule this morning. And so keep your dial set right there on 89.9. So glad that you're joining us today. I want to first welcome Chris Fogle, who is the executive director of the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, along with many other hats that he has worn. And Chris, we are so glad that the Treasure Coast Alliance is a sponsor of this hour. And so I believe you also are friends with our guests that we have in studio. Why don't you go ahead and introduce them?
Well, I'm excited about our guests. They represent a firm called Visions Alliance, which is a specialized fractional CFO service provider. And when I say CFO, it's like a chief financial officer. And they really offer expert financial leadership to small, medium-sized businesses, nonprofits. And one that I'm familiar with is churches. They have helped out some churches, fairly large, without the cost of a full-time executive. And I think for churches, you know, we're equipped behind the podium to do the sermons, but oftentimes we're not equipped to really run the financial affairs of a growing church and maybe add on to that a school. And to have someone of their background could be a very useful asset for our churches and schools and other not-for-profits. So without further ado, I want to introduce the principals. Soren Spears and Matthew Spears.
Well, welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. Thank you so much.
Great to have you with us today. And actually, Soren, I first met you at a Treasure Coast Christian Alliance gathering of our board back, what's that been, over a year ago or something like that?
Late last year, I think it was. So it's been quite a time, quite a while.
What a sort of shocking and painful morning that was, as you shared the crises that really exist in many ministries. And I believe today we most likely have pastors, board members, many people who've attended church their entire life that are here. And about that time, I don't know if you remember this, but we actually had an illustration here on the Treasure Coast talking about fraud and how easy it is for fraudsters to take advantage of the church or any other organizations that do not have some really strong boundaries put in place. Do you recall any of the specifics of that?
Yeah, one was a very specific thing that I had gone through.
Okay.
Which was I discovered accidentally as an individual that when I was tithing to the church.
This local church you're attending, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And what happened was that, and a lot of people don't do this, but I accidentally go back and look at my canceled checks, and I start realizing that some of the checks that I had issued to this church was cashed by somebody other than the church. So right away, I'm like,
how did you know that?
I just noticed because usually you have an endorsement on the back of the check.
Okay.
That the church stamped.
A stamp or something.
Correct. Uh-huh. And then I would say maybe half or three quarter of my tithing checks did not have that. It was just a line of numbers. It looked really odd. I contacted the church, talked to the treasurer of the church, and Lord and behold, we found out that all the checks that didn't have the endorsement on the back was cashed by somebody else. So then I said, ooh, how could that happen? I said, I've been in this business for over 40 years. I know exactly what's happening. Somebody's taking the checks from the church. I don't know where. I don't know if it's internal. It could be external. Sure enough, we found out that there was a group through working with a Lee County Sheriff's Department. We found out there was a group in the area that was basically lifting checks from the mailboxes of churches. Coming, long story short, after about 3 months, we watched TV, and here's a gang of, I think, 10 criminals that have stolen over millions and millions of dollars from churches' mailboxes.
Wow.
The church did not know that the tithing was supposed to come. My check, everybody's checks were cashed, so we all assumed that, you know, the church got the money.
Sure.
The church didn't know they were supposed to get it, so they didn't raise any flags. And, you know, the simplest little thing was we told all the churches, they spread the word, make sure you lock your mailbox.
Lock the mailbox. Okay, so that's a fairly inexpensive and simple fix, right? Pretty simple fix. And also at the same time, I believe we had something in the news from a church here on the coast of Florida that had experienced some serious fraud inside as well.
Yes. What happens in churches is a church starts, you know, a church is planted. And then what happens is as the church grows, they start handling more money, more sophisticated business operation. And the church sometimes is unable to separate the ministry of the church or running the church and then also the business of the church. So as it grows, the old systems, financial system, financial controls, you might just have one person. There's no segregation of duties. And the example that we were presented with was, I think the person had lifted over $175,000 in the bookkeeping department from the church. So without proper controls, proper systems in place, that's exactly what we saw. So it could happen very easily.
Can I add something to that?
Sure, Chris.
You know, before going into the ministry, I was a CPA for over 40 years and had a large firm. And one of the things that I think is disturbing that it's for people to realize is that oftentimes it's probably one of the most trusted individuals within the organization that becomes the one who instigates the theft within the church or the not-for-profit. And I think sometimes we get comfortable with who's on staff, but Soren mentioned early on a key term called internal controls. And it's internal controls that keep check and balances on your most trusted employees, but they have to be in place.
All right. So, Chris, with your years as a CPA, you've certainly seen the importance of this.
Absolutely.
Okay, Soren, how did you get? We're going to get to your boy here in just a moment. He's all grown up, so he's not like a teenager. Well, maybe. I think he's probably broke 18 for sure.
Got the Soren, baby face.
Yeah, there you go. How did you get into this? And tell us a little bit about your God story, just so people know who we're talking to.
Yeah, I moved over here from Europe back in 1981. Got into the financial business, and then I worked through different business industries. I ended up, before I retired, I was at a private club industry. And a lot of this, when I was getting ready to retire, I decided that I have so much information, I would love to help companies and especially the church communities. I have a very close connection with one of the churches in town. My son-in-law is a pastor there.
Okay.
My daughter and our whole family grew up in this church. And my son-in-law, knowing that I was retiring, said, hey, is there any way you can come in here and look at this? The senior pastor is concerned about some of the numbers. They don't seem right. We're not, you know, we're having some issues. I came in, brought in my Matthew, and we went through and basically revamped the entire church/private school operation. And we turned it around in less than 12 months. By the number one was us, we provided the pastor with clarity of his operation. You know, what's coming in, what's going out. You know, gazillion credit cards. Everybody has their own credit cards. They had gazillion bank accounts.
Wow.
And we cleaned all that up, gave them a new system, and turned the entire organization around in less than 12 months.
Wow. That's really quick. Wow.
So I've been very close with this church for many years, and it warmed our heart, and I was very, very, I felt very blessed that I was able to come in and help them.
I have a question, Soren. And I was sharing this with Karen earlier. I was, many, many years ago, was involved with a prison ministry. And it started out just one guy as the director, and then it grew exponentially over maybe a period of a decade to be a pretty good-sized ministry. But from my point of view, and I was involved in that ministry, they did not address their growth with better controls looking at financially. And I'm wondering, you get big ministries today that have grown exponentially over a period of time. Should they be talking to you, let's say, about looking into the management structure, the financial management side, to see if they addressed that growth properly, or are things happening that they're clueless about because of the incremental growth and not dealing with it at the time?
Absolutely. That's the short answer is absolutely.
Yeah.
We can help them very, very well. It starts with clarity, starts with getting your eyes around how everything is. Because what happens is you're absolutely correct. It starts really small, and then it just starts growing and growing and growing. And without controls, without clarity how you're doing, the pastor feels like, and the entire church feel like, we're just running around circles. We're busier, we have more people, we have more employees, we have congregation is growing exponentially, or our ministry is growing exponentially, but we're still struggling. Why are we struggling?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we struggling paying the rent? Why are we struggling making the mortgage? And for us to bring you the clarity, it'll allow you to make the right decisions. The ministry we were a part of is that the pastor made all the right decisions. It was just based on the wrong information. So if we can give you the right information to make the right decision, you can further the kingdom, and the ministry can continue growth. It'll some at some point might stall.
Amen. So you're really making an important point that just because there's struggles and a bunch of issues does not mean that there's fraudulent activity going on within the staff. Could be, but doesn't mean it is. It may just be that some of the internal methods and procedures and such forth just are not they're not streamlined.
Absolutely.
Matthew, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for
having
me.
What do you do?
So I help support this handsome fellow right here. I help
that's him on the back awesome. End,
and I help him try to implement some of those systems. Go in, and I'm the one that everybody volunteers to come in on site and clean things up and get the initial workup going. And then obviously we work together and try to help, you know, all these churches and these nonprofits and their operations.
So what does it look like? Pastor calls you, and what happens next? Just walk us through kind of a little bit of a layout of how this works. And when you're talking about internal controls and streamlined and such forth, what does that mean practically in a local church?
Yeah, so typically some of the challenges that a pastor, a leader of the church will come across will be, you know, they might hit some cash crunches. They might notice that they've had to borrow a little too much to make ends meet on normal operations. There'll be some sort of flags that the leadership will start to notice that they recognize they need some help. And so basically they'll come across us, and what we'll do is we'll set up where one of us will be on site and set up a nice remote working setup as well, so we can just continue to get the ball rolling. And then what we do is we create an assessment. So what we will go in and be on site, just learn the flow of the operations, make sure everything's going in a certain way that it at least, you know, there's no fires to put out right away. And then after we're there for a few days, we create an assessment for the leadership and tell them our recommendations. So some of the crazy ones, to give you guys some examples, it wasn't in specifically the church focus or the church industry, but it was one that stands out to me pretty prevalently. We had one client where we came in, and straight out of their system, the accounts payable person, whenever they printed out the checks, it automatically had the signer that would be on the checks, their signature printed with the check.
Oh.
So at any given time, they could just create a new vendor, and you know, $100,000 might disappear, and obviously you wouldn't know until it was too late. So again, it wasn't a church, but it was one where that's one of those signals where we sit there and we go, okay, that needs to stop today. And so we'll create an assessment on the ones that need to happen in certain order. And then over time, we'll make some recommendations. We might bring in some accounts payable software where somebody can, you know, you have all the right controls where the pastor's actually approving everything properly or some other leader is approving something for their ministry. And then just continue to clean those up until the there's a good regular rhythm of financials and until they get that financial clarity my dad was talking about where they have reports, they know where everything's coming in, where everything's going out. They have maybe some cash flow projections. They know anything that's coming up the road is proactive instead of reactive.
So what are the counties or areas that you all work in? How far do you reach?
We work pretty much anywhere. We work a lot remotely. So we actually have clients, again, from different industries, but all the way out right now to Nashville. And we have actually another one that might be coming on board here from North Carolina. We'll do, if it's that far out, we will still do on-site visits. It'll just might be a quarterly type of setup. Obviously, if they're much more local here to Florida, we can go a lot more often. But we can work pretty much anywhere in the country, anywhere in the state. But right now, I'm based out of Palm Beach, Florida. My father out of Vero Beach, so anything nearby is a lot easier to reach for sure.
Sure. So we've been talking about church, but this isn't just for church. What about Christian schools? What about other para ministries? And do you work mostly with nonprofits?
So we primarily work with my father's and my background comes from clubs, private clubs, country clubs. So we've started with that, and that's more just because of our background, our network. But we've been expanding quite significantly into the churches, the nonprofits, schools as well, as you mentioned. So we focus on all of those because we found that those industries tend to be the ones where they can't hire a full-time CFO for $300,000-$500,000 a year. So we want to offer that expertise without obviously charging an arm and a leg, so to speak.
Yeah, just to throw into the mix, most pastors are not trained in financial management, and even if they were, how clueless, because that's not our calling.
Correct. Absolutely.
But yet, at the same time, we don't involve other people, generally speaking, who have those gifts.
And
we get into trouble.
That's a big focus of ours. Pretty much any client we've had, especially in the nonprofit, the church, and the school spaces, we've noticed that that the real red flag is when the leader feels that they have to start to jump in on the financials. And what we've recognized is our goal in those cases is to get everything to where it runs itself, to where it's reliable, of course. But the leader doesn't have to jump in all the time to handle all the financial, whatever the management needs to be. You know, if you're a pastor, you're supposed to be able to lead the church without having to balance a checkbook on the back end.
And so, even pastors should not be involved.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. I'm a pastor, and I'm expected to know everything, including God, which is really important, really important. Okay, so a pastor of, you know, we have pastors that are listening today and board members that are listening today, and the question is not whether or not this is needed. I believe any pastor who can figure out which shoes for the left and right probably says we could use some help in this area, because often coming into the church, we have different individuals from different businesses that I have seen they bring their own poor business habits into the church, but they're professionals in the church. Because now you have professionals who were surviving in business, but now they're professionals in the church because they know more than the rest of the board or the pastor or leadership. So I know there's people saying, well, what size of organization are you working with? How much money does it cost? Because a lot of people, including myself, are going, man, I'd really like to know these guys better, but, you know, I'm not sure I could afford lunch for them today. So, I mean, who do you serve?
We serve and it's a great point to bring up, with our history in the private club industry, it's very similar. You have a lot of professionals come into a club, they get on the board, they might have run a restaurant. Suddenly now they're going to want to tell you how to run a club's restaurant. So, but what we do is, we come in, we tailor it to what you need. We tailor it to, we become like a bridge between the pastor and let's say the elders or the board, whatever it is, to try to, again, bring clarity to how you're doing and are things being done in the right way so that the pastor can focus on being a pastor. And we will focus on, or we will help the organization focus on what's important on the financial and the business side. We work with any organization, doesn't matter the size. We charge by the hour, so it all depends on how much you need. If you're like, you know, a mega church, yeah, you're going to need more than a small little church of you know, a couple of hundred, you know, in a congregation. But we tailor all that directly to your church. So it's not like a big ticket. You're going to pay a big fee up front, whatever. We tailor everything just to you. We feel like and there was a calling at some point in our life that said there's a need within churches. You know, Christ is calling us to come in and help these churches, and you know, I'm not saying we're not making a killing. We're here to help the churches, so we will tailor anything that can help the church become healthier.
So, how do people find you? How do they get a hold of you? Let's talk about that for a minute. Matthew, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah. So we're online, visionsalliance.net. So visionsalliance.net, no dashes, no periods in between. And just reaching out to us on there. We have our phone number, some information about us on there as well. We also have some freebies, you could say, as well online. So we have a presentation that we gave a little while ago to talk to some small to medium-sized businesses and a network group there that talks about the power of a fractional CFO and just explains a little bit more of the model for anybody that might not be familiar with the setup. As my father mentioned, we just charge by the hour, so there's no predetermined contracts, nothing like that. But also in that presentation, there are a few quote-unquote freebies. So our biggest thing is to get some wins early, right out of the gate. As I mentioned about the assessment, you know, we might find some recommendations we'd make right out of the gate, renegotiating vendor contracts, things like that. A couple of those things are in that presentation as well. But mainly on our website is probably the best way to look for us.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Well, I was just looking at the leaky bucket. You've talked about that some, right?
Mm-hmm. I've been in leaky buckets.
Oh, yes.
Let me ask you something. Chris, you may want to get in on this too, but I have a question. How many organizations are you called to that you find leaky buckets at?
We have currently...
I mean, what's the percentage? Is this normal? I mean, do you find things that can be fixed almost anywhere you go, or what?
Absolutely. I would say 11 organizations out of 10 need some help with that. Yes. We found that, as we mentioned before, you know, the leaders are very rarely financially, have any financial background or anything to the depth that we can provide. So typically there's at least something that we can help them figure out. The biggest ones that we found are, you know, bills are on auto pay, so money that comes in goes right out the gate again. Credit cards, you're paying crazy amounts on interest. Thing, you know, balances are being carried over. Too many authorized users. We had one client that they were having things show up at their door that somebody in the organization had ordered on one of the credit cards. They had no idea who it came from. And so that to me is the definition of a leaky bucket.
I have a quickie just to throw, because in that light, how many churches have you found that are not using their tax-exempt status when they make purchases on services and products and are paying out all that money in taxes when they're legally and ethically exempt from that?
Yes.
That's a big chunk right there.
Oh, yeah. Every one of them.
At least in one outlet or another. Yeah, absolutely. Every single one of them.
So what about software?
Yeah.
I'm still one of those, you know, it's like the Arc and AOL.com and QuickBooks. This is what I know. Yeah. So what about churches and pastors? Like, well, you know, I just came in here. I'm kind of like the new guy on the block, and this is just the way we've always done it. You all are able to give some direction in regards to things like that?
Absolutely. We give you a perfect example. The large organization we were dealing with had everything on QuickBooks. QuickBooks is not good for a...
It's not really designed for a church at all.
No. We found a piece of software. It's called Aplos. It's a very, very... It's
Aplos. I've looked at that online. It's good?
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
It's very, very...
That's AP...
LOS.
LOS.
Yes. Very inexpensive. I think it's like $500 to $600 a month, but it does everything. It does your GL. It does your AP. It does everything. Very, very... And then you can upgrade to different levels if you want to. But that's a perfect example. Then we'll go in. What the beauty of having somebody like Matthew, younger person, he's obviously a lot more affluent with with software than I am, and he's the one that found Aplos. Like for instance, our email system, we go in and say, listen, like you said, AOL.com doesn't work anymore. You need to go this way. So we have a very inexpensive solutions for potential a software that we will introduce to the pastor or to the leadership, mm-hmm. and then obviously if they're willing to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and wow. and just to add to that real quick, our biggest focus is what I would say is our differentiator versus other financial management, fractional CFO companies, whichever it may be, is that my father and I are always operationally focused. So we don't want to come in and just throw a giant, you know, wall of numbers or some super complicated accounting software at any of our clients. So our focus is on making them successful. So we want to make it as streamlined, as easy as possible. We've had multiple situations where we have two, three different softwares we're balancing, and we recognize one is much more user-friendly. So in that regard, mm-hmm. we're always willing to bring something in to make it much easier on the clients. Because if you're bringing in something that's super complicated, never gets adopted, nobody uses it, what good did you do at the end of the day anyway?
Good point.
Very true. Once again, for people to make connection with you all, they can go online, and that web address is?
www.visionsalliance.net.
Karen, you've been very quiet this morning. You're looking as if you already know all of this, and you're very well schooled. And
no, I don't. Even though, you know, my military career was payroll and finance, so you know I have a little interest in that. But I'm thinking about, so like for a church, you're taking care of them. What if you have people in the church who are, you know, a little bit savvy? Mm-hmm. Maybe they're former CPAs like Chris, or you know, have a financial background. Are those people able to work along with you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Our biggest focus is, like I mentioned, was to make sure the clients are successful and to make sure the team's all bought in. So what you'll find with a lot of accountants, fractional CFOs, I'm sure Chris can agree to this, some of them have the focus on the kind of the auditor's mindset, where they're coming in, they're making sure everybody's got everything in by a certain day, and you know it's almost like a disciplinary aspect. For us, it's that empowerment aspect, which is to work with everybody as a team and make sure everybody gets to, you know, furthering the kingdom. So,
you know, if I could offer just one simple thing that very small churches and businesses, for that matter, ought to always do, and that is a monthly bank reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, somebody says, well, I leave that up to so-and-so, and that is where the problems begin. Anyone that has a small business or pastoral should at least take a look monthly at the bank reconciliation. They don't need to know who gave, but they need to see where the money's at and where it's going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you start with the basics. And that's probably one of the easiest things to start with, is just a simple bank reconciliation for your organization.
Chris, you're 100% correct. An old friend of mine, retired CPA, told me, he said, Soren, 99.9% of all fraud, check fraud, would stop if the person, in this case the pastor or the CFO or the controller, would just take the time to look at the endorsements and look at all the canceled checks every month. Mm-hmm. Problem mm-hmm. is nobody does that, and they don't know half the, you know, that if something's wrong if you don't look at the canceled checks. Mm-hmm. So to Chris's point, you're 100% correct.
Absolutely.
Chris, we're kind of getting to the bottom of the hour. Anything else that you would like to bring in to our time while we're still all connected?
I would just like to say to all the listeners out there is to take advantage of what this organization, Visions Alliance, has to offer. Too often times our pride gets in the way of, well, we do things right. We really don't need it. And quite frankly, we all need a little bit of accountability. And it's also very good for someone independent just to take a look at your operation. If they only spend a couple hours but can provide you a tremendous amount of expertise and internal controls to really keep your operation on track, it's well worth the investment.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen. Definitely. Amen.
I know, Chris, you're really a strong believer in accountability, and that any organization needs to have that in place. You want to just speak to that at all, and the importance of that in what you've seen as being a weakness in many ministries?
Well, I'll speak to it. I mean, I've got involved, as you well know, with the church in, we'll just say, St. Lucie County, where the accountability was all but non-existent. There were a couple elders, but they did not have the expertise to really challenge or ask the right questions. And unfortunately, that resulted in a tremendous misappropriation of funds. So accountability is important, but it's the people that are going to hold you accountable have the expertise to do it. And I think we all need to be held accountable in order for our organizations to run in a godly fashion. And absent that accountability, you leave yourself open for deception and fraud and theft and everything else that Satan can get his hands on when you're not accountable.
Years ago, we were scheduling a marriage encounter weekend, you know, and I remember something one of the guys told me. He said, "Pastor, I'm not going to be signing up for that." I said, well, why not? You guys have been married quite a while. I'd actually officiated their marriage." And he said, "Well, things are going so well, I don't want to find out we're doing something wrong."
Yep.
So, you know, when I think about, you know, we've talked, really some really important points have come out today, and I see all of those. But I think on top of that, I think there's a certain element of maybe concern over, well, we know what we've always done. I'm not sure I want to find out there's problems, you know. But the point is, this is a pathway to freedom. It really is a pathway to freedom.
Absolutely.
I love what the word says: "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Yeah.
It's not just having a knowledge of it, but knowing it in a, I receive it, I'm now going to act upon it. And really, God has put the different gifts in the body of Christ so we can come together, complement one another, be, in a sense, a whole lot more than just rear view mirrors, but or side mirrors, but actually be partners to guard against the schemes and plans of the enemy that would seek to come in. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the enemy loves to interrupt in a financial way in a ministry, because what I've seen is that many times the people who have resources to give, they will see a weakness in the financial structure in a church, and they will ask for it. They will seek for it. And if it's not there, many times those people will end up in a different place because they simply do not feel like they're in a place that they can trust.
Absolutely.
Closing thoughts.
First of all, thanks for having us here. Thanks for allowing us to present to you what we believe is a true calling to help churches, help religious schools, organizations to come together and try to solve some of these problems. We believe that we could further the kingdom tremendously more if, not necessarily us, but if we created some form of accountability and some form of structure at all these different churches. We just feel like it would just give us more resources to continue to further the kingdom.
So once again, Matthew, give that web page and just mention again there are some resources there that might really be beneficial for anyone that's considering asking the question, where am I? And I think we all need to ask that question sometimes, where am I? And bring somebody in that can help you figure out how to get out of where you are if you're not happy with what's going on. And whoever came up with the brilliant idea that insanity is continuing to do the same thing and expecting different results.
Yeah.
I don't know, but many people practice that in their finances. And they practice that in relationships as well and tend to hold on to things and do it my way instead of saying, hey, God gave us his way and gave us a team to help make it happen. Matthew.
Absolutely. It's www.visionsalliance.net. Once again, it's visions with an S, visionsalliance.net. And our phone number is 772-255-4567. And just as you'd mentioned, there's some resources on there on not only the power of a fractional CFO with some freebies at the end to help you get some small wins right out of the way, but we also have a good case study about how we were able to turn around a nonprofit organization from $1.6 million loss to a profit of $200,000 to $300,000 within just about a year.
Wow.
Well, if you're just tuning in and you want to know how that happened, you might want to get on the webpage. Incidentally, we are blessed to have you both with us today. Thank you for coming in. I know you have other things you could have done, but we're really pleased that you would come and share the Absolutely. Giftings you have with our family. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for allowing me to share with you this morning.
Well, God bless. We're going to go to a song. And if you're listening, keep your dial set right there at 89.9. We do have another guest. If you've been on the fast, well, my son talks about fasting as being fast food, and he's into that. But, you know, there is another fast, and Tim and Maria is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about how do you close out a 21-day fast, and how do you figure out whether or not you've actually gained any ground in the process of it. I trust that many of you started this year with a passionate pursuit for God, and we'll look to be back in just a moment.
Take care, bro.
Send us revival, oh Lord, here as we pray. We want to see a new visitation, light the fire of revival again. Break us, broken in spirit, free from weakness and pride. We want to be a holy generation, your prophets, your lovers, your friends. Lord, send us revival again. Send us revival, oh Lord, hear as we pray. We want to see a new visitation, like the fire of revival again. Make us broken in spirit, free from weakness and pride. We want to be a holy generation, your prophets, your lovers, your friends. Lord, send us revival again. Hear our cry. Revival, oh Lord, hear as we pray. We want to see a new visitation, light the fire of revival again. Make us broken in spirit, free from weakness and pride. We want to be a holy generation, prophets, your lovers, your friends. Lord, send us revival again.
Hear our cry.
Hear our cry.
Yes, indeed, Lord, send us revival again. And I believe that if we have eyes to see, we will see that the people of God are hungry, and we have been seeking God, and we are seeing signs of spiritual awakening in our land. In the midst of the darkness, there are increasing evidences of the great breakthrough of God coming to our nation, and thank God for that. I want to welcome Tim and Maria Widrow. Welcome.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan. Thank you.
God bless both of you all over. All over the inside and all over the outside and all over your homes, your cars, your everything. Listen, anybody that calls the church to pursue God and fast, you are a blessing to the body of Christ. We are so appreciative of that call that you have brought to our family here at WCNO. So talk to us. How has this fast gone? As far as prayer requests and answers and what has happened? 21 days.
Well, this year is a little different than last 4 years or so, in that we were able to partner with an entire prayer team to pray for all the prayer requests that we got. So we're very, very grateful for everybody who sent us their prayer requests, and we want to let them know that it's just not just Maria and I praying for them, but an entire prayer team praying for them at our church as well. So we are hopeful that that will continue, and it's okay for people to give us prayers any time of the year. Anytime, you can just go to our website, and we will be happy to share those with our entire prayer team now. So we're all about prayer and fasting, so we would love for those, for everybody listening, to send their prayer requests. I know there's people out there who are seeking the Lord, and they have some issues perhaps, and we'd be happy to pray for you. So please keep that in mind whenever you just go to our website and go to our Contact Us page. That prayer request will be not only us, but our entire prayer team. So thanks to our prayer team as well.
Where would they go? Somebody's listening. A lot of people are listening today saying, I've never heard anything about this. Where? How can people connect with you?
Okay. Well, we do the Daniel Fast, of course.
Lost you, Tim. Hello? David, go ahead. You have you have an announcement there to make, and maybe we'll be able to reconnect with Tim and Maria.
Until we're waiting, yes. Just the Treasure Coast March Rally for Life is going to be occurring this Saturday, January 31st, from 1 to 3 p.m. It's going to be in, I think it's going to start at the Planned Parenthood location there, 1696 Hillmore Drive in Port St. Lucie. It's going to be a rally gathering around people praying and praying against abortion. There will, at the close of it, from 2:15 until 3, be a peaceful march, a life chain on US-1 from Seacoast Bank to Walton Road. And there'll be organizers to tell you more about that. If you're interested in knowing more about it, you can contact Tammy Hawley at 517-403-5176.
All right. Thank you, David, for having that very important announcement to spring in there while we somehow got disconnected from Tim and Maria. I was just asking you again, how give us the web address so people can find out more, Tim and Maria, about you all.
Yes. I don't know what happened there, but technology is wonderful when it works.
Yes. Right? Yes, for sure.
So our website is danielfast.org. That's no spaces, just the words danielfast.org. And you can go there and just click on the Contact Us button and submit your prayer requests, and we will get that and get it right over to our entire prayer team. So thank you for doing that.
All right. So do we have any praise reports coming back in yet from the season of fasting?
We do. From our prayer team, there was a woman who had some cancer in her digestive tract, and it's completely gone now. So that was the big feedback that we got from one individual, and that was really
that's pretty huge,
because she was on chemotherapy and all kinds of things, and so now she's completely cancer free. So that's a big hooray to the Lord right
Praise
now.
Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. That's great. That's great. And we in our congregation had a miraculous health report as well that just came in. A lady had a blockage, and they were anticipating surgery. They had all kinds of different ideas on maybe what was causing it. But the prayer that was being lifted up was that it would dissolve and that this lady would not need to have that invasive surgery. And we just got a report last night that she is not going to need to have the surgery, that God has definitely given her the freedom and the healing that she needed. So God is still in the healing business, and that's an important thing to know. And prayer and fasting really strengthens our faith and calls us in to look at the Word of God and stand on it. So between the two of you, have you been busy with the fast, and today's kind of closing down, and you're thinking about what next?
Yes, today is our, yesterday is the day the fast ended, so this is our first day.
First day off.
So
okay.
I'm gonna let Maria explain a little bit to those who have fasted with us how to transition properly back into a new diet, but keep the prayer.
There you go.
Talking about the fasting here.
There you go.
There you go.
So most people who are in the fast, they basically fast and they are not taking certain foods that are already listed in the Daniel fast. So breaking your fast is very important to be gradually. Very important. It's not a good idea you to just to visit some restaurant and sit and eat the whole food that they offer on the menu.
The all-you-can-eat buffet, you mean?
Yeah, all-you-can-eat buffet or something like that, because right now the body have to transition and you have to give a time the body to be able to connect with the other foods. Also, you can start to eat simple vegetables, soup or chicken soup or steamed vegetables or everything, like slowly the transition back to wholesome and healthy diet, I assume. And slowly add one things at a time every day as you go. So also it's a very good if you keep the diet healthy and continue to fast, because continue fasting is not mentioned in the Bible that we can do one time. We can do it any time that we need a favor from God. We need this desperate presence. So we can do it one day. We can do it 3 days. Daniel says we can do one morning, even one lunchtime. Anything that it's a sacrifice, so we can be able to show that a reverence to God, it will count. So the book that it's Daniel fast, we have a section that we have 20-25 single days that you can record your progress, or you can even in the book, if you don't do 21 days or 10 days, you just do whatever days you did and go further and record it. Record your fasting, record your prayer to God, and pour your heart emotionally, physically, spiritually, so, and in its journal you taught. So this is a very good way to immerse into the God presence.
You know, Tim and Maria, I was thinking in reference to how to break a fast and remembering a story. This came from a pastor in church in Kentucky where they as a church had been and continue, they have been fasting as a church. They have set times during the year, but there are some of their fast where it's basically just a liquid fast at times, which the Daniel fast of course has many nutrients from many other things that's available, so it's much broader. But the breaking the fast was very important because they had encourage people, just like you said, don't go to a buffet where you can, for $10-$20 or whatever, eat all you can eat. that could be very dangerous. They actually had a congregate, I was told, who died, who decided they were going to go from water after however many days, and they ordered this huge steak. And it ended up being a real painful lesson for that congregation. So we're fasting. I've observed that there are more and more in the secular arena, just saying not coming from a Christian perspective, that are talking about all the benefits of fasting. And so that's something that's pretty powerful. But I think the leaving the fast is really important. And the carry away, the takeaways, you were just talking about that, Maria. I think that's really important. What are those takeaways again? I mean, there are things that we can take with us from a 21-day or a 3-day or a 1-day of fasting that can strengthen our spiritual journey. What are some of those things?
The spiritual journey is very important to us because that's all it matters. Because we fasting because we like to come closer and closer to God. It's like a direct line from the Holy Spirit, 1-9-1-1. Basically, we say, Holy Spirit, I really setting a time for us, setting a time for hours to have a full-time conversation, not part-time, not 1 hour, not half an hour, but all day long.
Good.
I am thinking about you. That craving for relationship means a lot to God, because God loves us. He wants we to have relationship the same way your husband and your wife or loved ones want your presence. They don't want your present or your stuff. They want you.
And God's the same way.
And the God's the same way. Right. He wants you. He wants to have relationship. And sometimes in order to shut up the destruction of the world, we need to step in and apply self-discipline. Self-discipline about food, self-discipline about social media, self-discipline about anything that is hindrance our relationship with God.
And not only that, Most people report losing some weight. You know, I actually lost 12 pounds myself, so
that's awesome.
I feel much lighter, much more nimble on my feet. I just feel much better. You know.
And would you imagine people with certain health issue like diabetes or high blood pressure, how this is going to affect their health when they're lighter and brighter? And they have like Jesus said, take my yoke. My yoke is easy. Easy. Light.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, where the father had a child, his son, who was demon-possessed, actually, and the disciples were unable to be effective in seeing that demonic spirit cast out. And the father obviously had a measure of faith in coming and seeking. Of course, the father was looking for Jesus. He wasn't looking for the powerless disciples, and not that they were powerless. It's just in that situation, they were not operating in a level where they could actually see that deliverance that was needed. So I was thinking about that, and the fact that many times coming into prayer and fasting a season, we pull those situations that maybe we would call them like critical or the 911 situations, those critical areas of breakthrough, and we're praying for those areas of miraculous intervention where we know unless God shows up that nothing's going to change. And so often, you know, that's kind of the focus. We're finishing up with our prayer time. And sometimes I think the tendency, the enemy would love to see us move from red hot to maybe a little cooler, to begin to cool off some. But I would just, I would encourage you as someone who loves God, who's passionate for God, maybe this is your first year fasting, maybe you've done it for several years, But I would encourage you to pull that passion with you. And as Maria, you were just saying, let those disciplines become a part of your ongoing daily journey with God.
Yes. Yes, we have to have a self-discipline because that is our sacrifice to our flesh. And to say, yes, God, I'm willing to do anything for you. You know how sometimes when you fell in love with somebody, you're willing to do every single thing for you, even they are having a crooked desire. And how much God is willing to do for God. People are willing to do that. But that's what it matters. How much do you love me, God is asking Peter. How many times he asking, do you really love me? Why God needs and Jesus needs love? They why they need love? Why he doesn't ask something else, he asked Peter. Because love is the most highest level of response to human being. We are built in love. We're built to be loved and to learn how to give love.
Amen. And that motivates us to follow, doesn't it? An active love in our life. And Jesus even addressed that, I think, when he made the comment, to whom is forgiven much. The individual who is forgiven much is one who loves much. And that love comes out of that relationship of truly experiencing the living Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. That is tremendous. Well, we're not going to say this is the end of our fasting. We're going to say that this is a end of a season of that we've set aside to pursue God in a greater way. And there may be some listening today that are on a little longer fast, as my wife and I and many in our congregation are. We many of us actually set aside 40 days, so that's what God's put on my heart, my wife's heart. So that's what we are doing. But I want to just say, as a pastor, and I'm going to ask this as a question because I'm hopeful that you're hearing from some spiritual levels. As a pastor, how does the fasting season impact your local church? How does that impact your preaching? How does that impact the ministry time? How does it impact the miraculous demonstrations of the power of God in your church? Are you hearing from pastors and leaders that speak to that, Tim and Maria?
Tangentially through other people. Only one pastor has contacted us directly and bought about 40 books for his congregation. And
God bless that pastor.
Yeah, that was amazing.
God bless that pastor.
Yeah, God bless him. He's in North Carolina, actually. Yeah, so I sent him the books, and they're very happy. And so I'm looking for a report from him. But we'd love to have on board more pastors and churches. We were fortunate enough to share our book with over 1,000 people this year. So
praise God.
We know that there are quite a few people who are hungry for God, and that's up from last year and the year before and so on. So we're
praise God.
We see a trend towards more people fasting and praying to the beginning of the year to set their course properly for 2026.
So, that's awesome. That is awesome. So,
and our prayer and fasting at the church, my goodness, there was probably started with 250. At our church every Tuesday and Thursday night did, and Saturday morning did a prayer service. And we went to them, of course, and it started out at about 250 people per night. And then towards the end, it was over 350, almost 400 people
praise
coming
God.
Together on a Thursday or Tuesday night or Saturday morning at 8 a.m. to pray
wow.
and fast And it was absolutely overwhelming. Most of them are young people in their 20s, I would say.
Beautiful.
There are some old fogies like me and Maria, but
careful now.
Most of them were young people. So when people say there's not a move of God amongst young people, I would beg to differ.